Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of In the Garden, right here on KFSK. I'm your host, Daniel Rowan Tucker. On this show, we dig our hands in the dirt, get back to nature, and find that special place of abundance and beauty. Spring is here. The days are getting longer, birds are singing, and there's still 2 feet of snow on the ground. It's also spring break this week, and with that in mind, I have something in store for our younger listeners. Children make excellent gardeners, and I believe that plenty of hands-on experience with dirt and plants can do them a world of good. They're a lot closer to the ground than adults, and kids often have quite a sharp eye for detail. Many of the world's great horticulturists were already planting and propagating by the age of 9 or 10. For some children, their experience of the garden begins as a place for foraging, one might even say plundering, among the fruits of someone else's labor. I think there's nothing inherently wrong with that. Their taste buds will teach them the value of well-grown produce, and in time they will develop an appreciation for the knowledge and the labor that go into that. Today I'm going to read for you a very well-known and beloved story about one young individual's foray into someone else's garden. It was written by a very experienced gardener, and I want you to pay close attention to the crops and methods displayed in the story. They are all quite applicable to our climate here in Petersburg. The Tale of Peter Rabbit by Beatrix Potter. Once upon a time there were four little rabbits, and their names were Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Peter. They lived with their mother in a sandbank, underneath the root of a very big fir tree. "Now, my dears," said old Mrs. Rabbit one morning, "you may go into the fields or down the lane, but don't go into Mr. McGregor's garden. Your father had an accident there. He was put in a pie by Mrs. McGregor. Now run along and don't get into mischief. I am going out." Then old Mrs. Rabbit took a basket and her umbrella and went through the wood to the baker's. She bought a loaf of brown bread and 5 currant buns. Flopsy, Mopsy, and Cottontail, who were good little bunnies, went down the lane to gather blackberries. But Peter, who was very naughty, ran straight away to Mr. McGregor's garden and squeezed under the gate. First he ate some lettuces and some French beans, and then he ate some radishes. And then, feeling rather sick, he went to look for some parsley. But round the end of a cucumber frame, whom should he meet but Mr. McGregor? Mr. McGregor was on his hands and knees planting out young cabbages, but he jumped up and ran after Peter, waving a rake and calling out, "Stop, thief!" Peter was most dreadfully frightened. He rushed all over the garden, for he had forgotten the way back to the gate. He lost one of his shoes among the cabbages, and the other shoe amongst the potatoes. After losing them, he ran on 4 legs and went faster, so that I think he might have got away altogether, if he had not unfortunately run into a gooseberry net and got caught by the large buttons on his jacket. It was a blue jacket with brass buttons, quite new. Peter gave himself up for lost and shed big tears, but his sobs were overheard by some friendly sparrows, who flew to him in great excitement and implored him to exert himself. Mr. McGregor came up with a sieve, which he intended to pop upon the top of Peter, but Peter wriggled out just in time, leaving his jacket behind him, and rushed into the tool shed and jumped into a can. It would have been a beautiful thing to hide in if it had not had so much water in it. Mr. McGregor was quite sure that Peter was somewhere in the tool shed, perhaps hidden underneath a flower pot. He began to turn them over carefully, looking under each. Presently Peter sneezed. "Good tissue!" Mr. McGregor was after him in no time. and tried to put his foot upon Peter, who jumped out of a window, upsetting three plants. The window was too small for Mr. McGregor, and he was tired of running after Peter. He went back to his work. Peter sat down to rest. He was out of breath and trembling with fright, and he had not the least idea which way to go. Also, he was very damp with sitting in that can. After a time, he began to wander about, going lippity-lippity, not very fast, and looking all round. He found a door in a wall, but it was locked, and there was no room for a fat little rabbit to squeeze underneath. An old mouse was running in and out over the stone doorstep, carrying peas and beans to her family in the wood. Peter asked her the way to the gate, but she had such a large pea in her mouth that she could not answer. She only shook her head at him. Peter began to cry. Then he tried to find his way straight across the garden, but he became more and more puzzled. Presently he came to a pond where Mr. McGregor filled his water cans. A white cat was staring at some goldfish. She sat very, very still, but now and then the tip of her tail twitched as if it were alive. Peter thought it best to go away without speaking to her. He had heard about cats from his cousin, little Benjamin Bunny. He went back towards the tool shed, but quite suddenly, quite close to him, he heard the noise of a hoe, scritch, scratch, scratch, scritch. Peter scuttered underneath the bushes. But presently, as nothing happened, he came out and climbed upon a wheelbarrow and peeped over. The first thing he saw was Mr. McGregor hoeing onions. His back was turned towards Peter, and beyond him was the gate. Peter got down very quietly off the wheelbarrow and started running as fast as he could go along a straight walk behind some blackcurrant bushes. Mr. McGregor caught sight of him at the corner, but Peter did not care. He slipped underneath the gate and was safe at last in the wood outside the garden. Mr. McGregor hung up the little jacket and the shoes for a scarecrow to frighten the blackbirds. Peter never stopped running or looked behind him till he got home to the big fir tree. He was so tired that he flopped down upon the nice soft sand on the floor of the rabbit hole and shut his eyes. His mother was busy cooking. She wondered what he had done with his clothes. It was the second little jacket and pair of shoes that Peter had lost in a fortnight. I am sorry to say that Peter was not very well during the evening. His mother put him to bed and made some chamomile tea, and she gave a dose of it to Peter. 1 tablespoonful to be taken at bedtime. But Flopsy, Mopsy, and Cottontail had bread and milk and blackberries for supper. The end. Beatrix Potter spent much of her life in various gardens and farms, and even before acquiring a garden of her own, she spent a great deal of time sketching in nature and studying the forms of plants, animals, and fungi. This eye for detail lends great depth to her stories and makes them all the more absorbing. Her books are the fruit of a lifetime spent in close company with growing things and living creatures. She kept pet mice, rats, and rabbits from an early age, and later on she ran a sheep farm in the scenic lake district of Cumbria in the northwestern part of England. Mr. McGregor is a skillful caricature of a certain type of Scottish gardener, managing the gardens of someone else's large estate. And here I'd like to read a quote from a wonderful book on Beatrix Potter's life, Beatrix Potter's Gardening Life by Marta McDowell. The garden is more likely that of Mr. McGregor's employer. Look at McGregor, kneeling in the dirt with unkempt beard, dibbler, and hobnailed boots. compare him to his workplace with its high walls, grand box-edged beds, and goldfish pond. While he was, no doubt, the general of the potting shed, it was a property that was beyond his means. He and his rabbit-pie-preparing missus would have lived in an estate cottage as caretakers, not owners. Beatrix Potter was economical in the clues she laid out in her words and pictures. In The Tale of Peter Rabbit, written in Potter's matter-of-fact voice, the garden is not sentimentalized. From page one, she takes off the white gloves, noting that Peter's unwise father had ignored his wife's good advice and ended up in a pie on the McGregor table. Rabbits in most gardens were not pets, like her pet Peter Piper, Benjamin Bouncer, and all the rest. While Beatrix had been known to free a wild rabbit from a trap, she stated unequivocally, "They are regular vermin, but one cannot stand by to see a thing mould about from one's friendship for the race." The country houses that the Potters occupied over the years had gardeners who would not have appreciated their animal rights activities. Scottish gardeners were the norm both north and south of the borders. Scotland was a known exporter of gardeners and botanists. Mr. McGregor was a type, and Beatrix knew the type up close. Her grandparents employed gardeners, as did the country house owners from whom her father let. In 1894, staying in Linnell, yet another property in Scotland, she wrote about the ripening cherries on the tree in the garden, reporting that "the rooks are so tame they will scarcely leave it for stone-throwing, and the thrushes sit and stare." Beatrix wrote for the record that she never knew a gardener named Mr. McGregor, though, quote, "several bearded horticulturists have resented the nickname." He and Peter seemed to have emerged fully clothed, as it were. Their names especially seemed to be inevitable. Beatrix Potter took memories of gardeners over decades of country estate summers and came up with a composite character. I hope that the tale of Peter Rabbit will be an encouragement to the next generation to seek out their own adventures in the garden and to get acquainted with plants and the means of growing them. As we find out in Miss Potter's subsequent story, The Flopsy Bunnies, the grown-up Peter Rabbit now has a nursery garden, which is sufficiently productive for him to loan cabbages to his improvident cousin Benjamin Bunny. So you never know which one of today's little garden marauders, laying waste to the careful work of their elders, may in time become industrious gardeners in their own right. That's all for today. Thanks for listening to In the Garden.